let's say these 90 people that you helped exorcise, okay, these 90 people that you cured, all of them couldn't have been mean-spirited, evil people. I mean, so what did they do wrong? I mean, why did they get possessed? I mean, what happened to them?
It's not always the bad people who get it. It's often innocent people. It's often people who have been, I mean, let's face it, the people most open to spiritual abuse, by and large.
What do you mean by that, spiritual abuse?
People who, in a sense, there's a point where we almost allow, 90% of the time we allow it to happen. And I could explain that very, very graphically and very well in a moment.
All right.
And not with bad intentions. Maybe we were abused as kids, and we don't think we really deserve to make a big stink or ask for help immediately. Maybe we're used to always living under the thumb a little bit. Perhaps our nature is as good as we are as people, that as children we still have issues to work out. Perhaps we played a role, and in that time we got used to being a victim. People, and they could be wonderful people, people who are like that are more open to get hurt by malevolent spirits.
And they're good people.
Yes.
Okay. So these spirits, they'll somehow capitalize on a weakness? Is that what they're doing?
And abuse, childhood abuse, is, you know, that's the biggie, number one, flashing lights. Yep.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It's a matter of when a child is, and I'm talking about the worst kinds of abuse.
I understand.
Especially.
I understand.
It actually, now I take spirit photographs, but there's also a science, aside from Carolean photography, which actually takes aura photographs. And the aura, by the way, there's several types of aura, but the point is it captures some of our electromagnets, some of our etheric type of energy around the body. And when you, there's people who take pictures, like aura photographers, and at times when they take a picture of somebody who's been harshly abused, there'll be an opening, usually around their neck. And in the spirit world, it's like an open door. It's like leaving your house unlocked.
That's the portal to get into the person, huh?
It's going to be, whether or not the person knows it or feels it, it will either be the neck area or the solar plexus.
So for someone who is abused, something happens, it allows that gate to open, and in they go. Now, the big question is what is it about the abuse that creates that portal in that person's spirit?
There's, you know, a list. Is the list complete? I'm not sure. But it might start with the fact that some families really are cursed. Okay?
Maybe.
Another one is, let's say somebody abused somebody, a father to a daughter. Now, isn't it very likely that maybe the reason the father abused the daughter is because he not only had been abused as a child, which is usually the case.
Probably.
But he also may, in fact, be being abused spiritually right now. He might be an alcoholic, and when he drinks, these very vicious people who are not crossed over, okay, they're hanging around. They still want to drink booze and get crazy, and they can do whatever they want now because they don't have to account to anyone. Well, he gets really drunk. Perhaps he's in an angry mood. Where do they go? Into him. He comes home, and he does things he would never do sober. That's one way. I mean, I'm giving you a little piece of the list.
Right.
You know, alcohol is a real good trick there. A real good, you know.
Could that also be a cop-out for somebody who just can't control himself?
Also,
yeah.
Yes.
All right.
And in effect, the effect in a sense is the same. You know, if somebody's taking responsibility or not taking responsibility at all.
Well, then do you find that most people with weaker personalities are more apt to get possessed by evil spirits than someone who's more strong-minded?
One of my favorite sayings is, to get influenced, no. To get possessed, yes. Evil spirits are connected to a consciousness like all of us. They have access to information. You're playing with something second only to God. So sometimes it doesn't have to possess somebody to make them do evil. And I made a little promise to God in the last 24 hours. I think some of it had to do with being on the show here. And what it was about was something that I need to speak out about. Not personally attacking anyone, but it is these shows that are portraying exorcists as people marketing and showing clips and exercising 100 people in an auditorium. This is such a convoluting the whole idea of the severity of the problem.
And we've all seen these clips.
And the fact that you don't just say a name, that's magical thinking. You don't always win an exorcism. And I don't know what these people are doing, but I'll tell you something. I think they're doing so much more harm than they're doing good that they're not going to get bothered. They're already doing the work for, you know, spirits who love people being judgmental, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on.
Well,
let's see how these people are doing 6 months down the road.
Is it like a parlor game?
It's worse than a parlor game. It's really playing with people's lives and faith in a horrible, horrible way in God's name. It's just horrible.
Richard, have you ever been at an exorcism that didn't work?
About 20%.
That's a high number.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually an extremely high success rate.
What happens then with those 20% where you cannot, or who you're with, they cannot get these evil spirits out of this person?
One of them, the 21st exorcism worked. And she's fine now, and the family's fine now. And this was as vicious a case. Before this was as popular as it was, I remember watching this woman vaguely on a talk show before I ever got involved. We're talking mid-80s here. And she was finally exorcised the 21st time. I believe it was 1999. And she's fine.
And do they stay fine?
Yes. Oh, not always. And one of the horrible things, especially when it's a home that one is needs exorcism. Okay, and I'm saying exorcism as opposed to blessing, because I think a lot of times the word is very significant and it's a great tool. But to talk about, you know, somebody comes in and says a prayer, that's not an exorcism. If somebody is really making something leave and is going to no ends to make sure that that thing is divided from the family, then I would call that an exorcism, yes. And it's not supposed to work all the time, because then people would run around feeling they have impunity. They can do whatever they want. They can play with a Ouija board. If something happens, they can go to the neighborhood priest and get an exorcism.